So we had a few questions on the board, and probably won't be able to answer them all, but we'll see how far we get. So the first question that we thought we'd look at is a question about impermanence. If everything is impermanent, then what is important in life and in your thoughts? What to pay attention to? The first thing that comes to mind, actually, is that in terms of freedom, in terms of ease, happiness, peace, and this is actually the question the Buddha was addressing. He said, this is the question I answer. He said, this is what I teach. I teach suffering and the end of suffering. And he went on to say, picked up a handful of leaves and said, which is greater, the number of leaves in my hand or the number of leaves on the trees in the forest? And of course, the number of leaves in the trees in the forest is greater. And he said, just so, what I know is much more than what I teach. What I teach is the crux of the matter. What I teach is what's important for your personal freedom, liberation. What is important is for what I teach is what's important for how to let go and be free. And this question of impermanence is one of the big central points he pointed to. And to some extent, the most important thing to pay attention to in our thoughts and in our lives in terms of helping to free our minds of suffering is impermanence itself. We notice that our thoughts are impermanent. We notice that everything is impermanent. And to me, it kind of seems to come, from two directions in a way, how we pay attention to this impermanence. And it hits both of these centers, heart, mind, center. That in a way, when we pay attention to the humanness of impermanence, we hit the heart center. When we recognize birth and death, noticing that just the ever-ending flow of impermanence of life, old age, sickness, death, the kind of that aspect of it, it opens our hearts. When we don't resist that truth, when we can come into alignment with that truth, it opens our hearts. It opens our hearts to love, to joy for the births, to sorrow, sadness for the deaths, to compassion for all of us living this life, this poignant life of fleetingness. And so it's important to pay attention to that, and to pay attention to, and the Buddha said, this is important to reflect on, daily reflect on the fact of your aging, that the fact that you're of the nature to age, become ill, and die. And he didn't suggest that because it was a downer, because he thought it was going to, depress us. He actually suggested it because it helps to free our minds and to open our hearts. And the other side of the reflection on impermanence kind of hits the wisdom center, the what we think of maybe as the mind, the wisdom center around, I think the Buddha really was a teacher of wisdom, and he understood so clearly how the mind worked. And so while we, in connecting with the humanness of impermanence, we feel the joy and the sorrow of that, the compassion and the sorrow and the love of that. when we turn our attention more to the wisdom of the Buddha, which is around letting go, we recognize that, you know, as he saw into his own mind, it's the holding on to what's impermanent that's the reason why we suffer. And we try to, Pam was talking about the constructing of our world, you know, the, you know, trying to keep all the things we like and get rid of all the things we don't like. Well, that exercise is something, it's an exercise in futility. I came up with this kind of notion of it being like building sandcastles, you know. You build a sandcastle and the wave comes along and washes away that part of it, so you're trying to shore that side of it up, and then another wave comes and washes away that side. And so you're constantly trying to build it up and build it up and build it up, and it's exhausting. It's actually exhausting to do that, to try to build a world in which everything is just the way we'd like it to be, is exhausting. And the Buddha found the sense of ease, of peace, of happiness that comes from letting go of trying to do that. The wisdom of letting go of trying to change or to put a hold to impermanence, essentially. That's kind of what we try to do, trying to stop impermanence for just a moment so that I can enjoy this moment, thank you. you know, the attending to impermanence from this perspective of how we cling, how we hold on to things, it brings the wisdom of understanding that when things are impermanent, it just doesn't make any sense to hold on to them. And that's not an understanding we can really get in a way with our rational mind, but it is an understanding that we get as we pay attention to our experience. There's a kind of an apocryphal story, I don't know where it came from, but it's an image, an analogy about the pain of trying to hold on to something that's changing is like rope burn. You know, the rope is slipping out of your hands, and you're trying to hold on to that rope and keep it from slipping out of your hands, and you just end up with rope burn. Somebody came up with that analogy in, you know, the last 15 years or so. Who knows who it was, but it was Joseph? That's a Joseph story? I thought it was a student of Joseph's or something. So you know, both this turning towards impermanence, you know, given that everything is impermanence, aligning ourselves with that truth is what the Buddha, one of the things the Buddha really pointed to. And it opens our hearts as well as our minds. So Pam, do you want to say anything too about that one? Maybe we'll just answer that one question. It's a good question.
It's such a good question. I have many, many things come to mind as you were speaking. One is that when I was, I went through kind of a Buddhist conversion process where I started my practice in Zen and then later began to practice and was trained in the insight Vipassana tradition. And when I did that, like someone, I was thinking of people who convert to Judaism, they have to study extra hard. So I did a lot of studying of the texts that I had never read, you know, the early suttas. And in that process, I came across this repeated event in the Pali Canon. And the event was a description of awakening. And here's what it said. A spotless, immaculate vision of the Dharma arose in him. It was always a him, but we could play with the gender if we want for 2013 in California. A spotless, immaculate vision of the Dharma arose in her. And don't you want to know what it was? This is a description of waking up. So that's how I felt. Every time I get to this, be like, oh, what is it? And then it said, what did it say? It said, I'm trying to get the exact languaging. Everything that is, there's conditioned is in there. That's what I'm trying to get. All conditioned phenomena that arise are subject to passing away. All conditioned phenomena that arise are subject to passing away. That's it. Like, you know, I was wanting something bigger, better than that. So it's a teaching that's pointing to impermanence. And we can understand impermanence in a kind of theoretical way, like, yes, of course, everything changes, we know that. And then we can begin to experience it in a much more personal way. When we look in the mirror saying, like, what happened? You know? And we can also, in the context of a retreat like this, begin to actually have a direct experience of impermanence, to see it directly. To see a moment arising and passing. My husband had a friend who was an old hippie, and this guy went on a retreat, and he came back from the retreat, and he had an insight, kind of like the guy in the Pali Canon, but in hippie language. And he came back, and his report was that what the insight he had on the retreat was, he said, "Man, I saw the moment unfold." And our practice can allow us to see this. We see things arise and we see things pass, right? All those thoughts you had today, all those strong emotions that came, and all the whatever, beauty, moments of beauty, of poignance, where are they? I actually, from a more personal place, I had an experience of this. It was very powerful recently, some months ago, when I went and sat a retreat. I sat for a couple weeks, and I started to have the experience that I was kind of getting flooded with memory. And I wasn't thinking, it was just kind of flooding through. And I was a little bit annoyed at first. This is in the spirit of watching your attitude towards your mind, right? And I was like, what is all this stuff? Like, I'd like it to be quiet here, right? But that's not what was happening. What was happening was just these memories that I didn't even remember that I remembered, just kind of flooding through. A lot of image. So, you know, in light of not wanting to get rope burn, I finally kind of went with it. And what happened over a period of days was I started to feel something, which was all that. And these were like memories of my life, from like places I'd been as a child and people I'd met and things like that. And I started to realize it was all gone. And I remember sitting at the dining room table at Spirit Rock and sort of catching on to this, what was happening. And I was eating my lunch. And as I was eating my lunch, I started to realize that every bite I was taking, the experience of that bite was gone. And I just started weeping at the table. This is the poignant side that you're speaking to. And so our contact, our direct experience with impermanence can be quite poignant, beautiful, insightful. It was, gave me a lot of appreciation in a way that I hadn't had to that point. So, from the suttas to my personal experience to yours, this is one of the major Dharma doorways for us, this understanding of impermanence. And there can be a sense of like, well, if everything's changing, what's the point? And the point is not to try to hold on. We got that. But if we're willing to really be with it, what's important will become clear. in our willingness to be with what is in ways that may be surprising and could be quite wonderful. So, 8:31, we did one question. That was a good question, though, so I hope that thank to the person who asked the question and to all of you who are also impermanent, as is this period of sitting.
And we'll maybe try to answer some of the others tomorrow.
So in the spirit of impermanence, this period is over, and we're going to unplug and go away, and then you can too.
And we'll be back at 9 o'clock. I'll be back at 9 o'clock, and I'll do something a little different than what Pam did last night, so come and see.